but that's not actually the reason that I wanted to speak to you. I found with my own children when they were at school, and
in Scotland was this?
In Scotland, yeah. And later with my grandchildren, that they were mocked by pupils who were less interested in schooling or less able, and to the extent that they were excluded from peer groupings, and sometimes they were even bullied for being different.
Now, this is within, presumably, unless they were at private school, this is within a fully comprehensive system, yes?
The normal comprehensive system that is in Scotland. They gave up trying, largely, because they were being isolated so much. And I found that teachers seemed to be largely indifferent to this behaviour by the pupils. You were up against a brick wall if you tried to do anything about it. And I also found that in class, there was really too much emphasis on helping pupils who were slower, and there wasn't enough encouragement given to lateral activities provided for the brighter children who were moving on faster than the bulk of the class.
So would you have more streaming in schools, or would you have a system with secondary moderns and grammars? And only a phrase or two to answer, I'm afraid.
I'm a product of the 11 plus and the grammar school system, and I think that it's better because you've got children in an environment where they can stimulate each other in the grammar, well, at either level, in whichever school, and that encourages a degree of competitiveness, which helps them to achieve.
Sylvia, thanks for your call. Thanks for all your calls and your emails. Sorry, it was Margaret Gore I was talking to you. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your emails. Sorry, Sylvia Dodson, for not quite getting to you. Try again. That's all for the programme today. Next week, any questions? Matthew Parrish, Rachel Reeves on the panel, amongst others. Join us there for now. Good afternoon.
Any Answers was presented by Jonathan Dimbleby and was produced by Lisa Jenkinson. Well, Toby Stevens returns to BBC Radio 4 as the fast-talking private eye Philip Marlowe in our Saturday play next. And in this classic Chandler story, he's asked to find a gambler on the run from his debts. Poodle Springs is after this.
In Britain, Europe had never seemed to exist as an idea, let alone an ideal.
5 views on Europe.
The grand design of monetary union and the new balance of Europe makes the Germans uneasy. We viscerally dislike the idea to choose between our love of good money and our love of Europe.
Personal perspectives from prominent writers.
So what does a nation's mood depend on? I'd say on the ability to feel part of a history that is going forward.
State of the Union, Monday to Friday mornings at 9:45.
Now we continue with Classic Chandler, the landmark series that brings all of Raymond Chandler's Philip Marlowe novels to BBC Radio 4. The eighth and final Philip Marlowe novel, Poodle Springs, was unfinished at the time of Chandler's death in 1959. It remained incomplete for another 30 years, until his estate asked the crime writer Robert B. Parker to finish the novel, marking the centenary of Chandler's birth. We join Philip Marlowe as a married man, fresh from his honeymoon with the heiress Linda Loring, and relocated to the upmarket Californian town of Poodle Springs. But the life of a kept man is already wearing thin, and it's not long before Marlowe is back on a case. Toby Stevens plays the iconic Private Eye in Poodle Springs by Raymond Chandler and Robert B. Parker, dramatised for radio by Robin Brooks.
Our first home. It's a very handsome place, except that it stinks of decorator.
It's only rented for the season. It's a bit on the she side, but so is Poodle Springs.
Pool's too small, and no springboard.
The master bedroom has a bed as big as a tennis court.
Well, that's nice. We don't get on together, we can be distant.
Oh, I'm paying $1,200 a month for this dive. I want you to like it.
It'll be the first time I've been kept. Can I wear a sarong and paint my little toenails?
Oh, damn you, Marlowe. It's not my fault I'm rich. We could Have an early lunch and a siesta.
You have an early lunch. I'll go downtown and look for an office. There must be some business in Poodle Springs.
Oh, I hate you. I don't know why I married you.
Can I borrow the car? Tomorrow I'll fly back to L.A. and pick up my olds.
Can it wait? Does it have to be like this? It all seems so unnecessary.
I've been married to Linda for just 3 weeks and 4 days.
Hey.
Hey.
Don't you know who I am?
Nope.
I'm Manny Lipschultz. I run the Agony Club.
Uh-huh.
You're Philip Marlowe, private deck.
My, how word goes around.
Maybe I have something for you.
I only got here about 2 hours ago. I'm still looking for an office.
Harlem Potter's son-in-law. That rings a lot of bells.
Blow.
Don't be like that. I'm in trouble. I need a good man.
When I get an office, Mr. Lipschultz, come and see me.
I'm not in a position to wait around, Marlowe.
Call me later. I gotta go.
And your business?
Private investigator.
Oh, I see. Offices are hard to find, Mr. Marlowe, and not cheap. Present address?
It's the new place up on Romanov Drive.
You mean... you're that, Marlowe? Your wife is... she's Harlan Potter's daughter.
Uh-huh.
I am sure we can fix you up, Mr. Marlowe, sir. Absolutely. But why do you want a side street?
I can't afford a showy layout.
But your wife
has... I'm paying with my own money.
Very good, Mr. Marlowe, sir. I'll see what we can do right away.
On the way back to Marlowe Mansions, a big Buick is behind me, taking it easy. At a stretch of road that seems empty, it suddenly pulls past and cuts across. Two men jump out. A couple of guns flash into their busy hands. I reach for the glove compartment, but there isn't time.
Lippy wants to talk to you. Let me guess. Lippy would be Mr. Lipschultz of the Agony Club. Why does he want to see me so badly that he sends a couple of schnooks after me? Big stuff. I didn't think we were such close friends that he couldn't eat lunch without me.
One of the boys moves around and reaches for the right-hand door of my car. It has to be now if it's going to be at all. The boys go reeling. I smash hard into the rear of the Buick. I can't see what it does to Linda's car. I yank the glove compartment open and grab my .38. The smaller hood is running. The other one's still on his ass. I fire a shot over their heads.
If Libby wants to talk to me, he can't do it with me full of lead. Never show a gun unless you're prepared to use it. I am. You're not. Maybe I will go see Lippy.
I need some advice about his staff.
Darling, what happened?
I found an office. A little place over a dime store.
To my car.
Oh. A man named Lipschultz wanted to talk business. I didn't have the time. On my way home, he had a couple of morons with guns try to persuade me, so I bashed them.
With my car?
You said we needed a sedan for the evenings.
You take wrecking my car awfully goddamned calmly.
I was thinking about something else. Why don't you just telephone for a few more? Don't worry about me. I'll go back to L.A. and get my olds.
The Agony Club is northeast of Poodle Springs, just over the line in Riverside County. The hoods frisk me for my gun and take me into a big office that belongs to Manny Lipschultz.
Glad you could make it.
Gotta make a living.
Yeah, sorry about the boys.
Uh-huh.
See, I got a problem, Marlowe. What we do here ain't, you know, quite legal.
Gambling.
I wonder why we don't get the arm laid on us?
No, but if I did, I'd figure you had backing. Backing with money.
I knew you were smart.
So what do you need me for?
Fact is, if you don't help me out, that backing is gonna maybe send some people out to see me.
What do you want me to do?
Take a look at this.
I owe you $100,000. Les Valentine.
Me. Taking a guy's marker for 100 G's. I must be getting old.
How come you did?
He's got money in the family. Always made good before.
And when your backing looked at the books, he noticed you were 100,000 short.
Mr. Blackstone came to see me. Told me I got 30 days to cover the loss.
Or?
There ain't no or with Mr. Blackstone.
So you want me to find the guy who stuck you?
Yeah.
I find people, Mr. Lipschultz. I don't shake them down.
That's all I'm asking you. I'm out 100 grand. I don't get it back and I'm dead. You find the guy, talk to him.
What if he doesn't have it?
He's got it. His wife is worth 20 million.
So ask her.
She don't believe me. She says Lester wouldn't do that.
How come you didn't shake her down?
She's a lady.
And you're a gentleman?
Yeah.
Sure. Can I have the IOU?
Here.
So where do I find this guy?
Valentine. Les Valentine. Lives with his wife in Poodle Springs. Want me to look it up?
I'll look it up. I'm a trained sleuth.
The Valentine house was out near the racquet club. A Japanese houseboy took my hat and parked me in the front parlor. On the end wall was a series of photographs, full of arty lighting and odd over-the-shoulder poses of young women. On an easel near the doors to the patio was a big blow-up of a man and a woman in her late 30s. The man was balding, with rimless glasses and a smile that said, "Don't pay attention to me." The woman had a mouth that said, "I won't give you a damn thing," and a body that said, "You can have anything that you can take."
Mr. Marlowe.
Nice photo. Is that your husband?
That's Les. He set the timer and joined me. He's very clever.
I'm trying to locate your husband, Mrs. Valentine.
Really?
I've been employed by a man who claims your husband owes him $100,000.
That's ridiculous.
My employer says your husband ran up gambling debts at his casino and left him holding IOUs.
IOUs for illegal gambling are not enforceable.
But it has put my client in a difficult position with his employer.
Mr. Marlowe, this is no doubt of some interest to someone, but not to me or to anyone who knows my husband. My husband does not gamble. He pays for what he buys. He makes a good living.
Could you tell me where your husband is now?
Les is on location in San Benedict with a film company. He's doing publicity photographs. He is a very accomplished and well-regarded photographer.
Which studio is he working for?
I don't keep track. And I am not going to have him bothered with wild accusations from a known criminal.
I didn't say who my employer was.
I know who it is. It's Mr. Lipschultz. He approached me directly.
That your husband's signature on the photo?
My husband signs all his work.
Here's the IOU with the signature. Oh, look at that.
Oh, forgive me if I've not been entirely straight with you, Mr. Marlowe.
Uh-huh.
My husband enjoys gambling, and I have been happy to indulge him in his little weakness. Les is an artistic man. He's full of quirky needs, sensitivities that worldly men, men like you, do not necessarily have.
Uh-huh.
In the past, I have paid his debts, but this $100,000 to a man like Lipschultz, I said that it was time for him to become more responsible. I said he would have to liquidate this debt himself.
Does he work out of his home?
Of course not. He has an office in Los Angeles.
Do you have the address?
I don't need to know his address.
Don't need to?
Our marriage is founded on trust.
There are starlets on the wall. Isn't that Sandra Lee?
You think I fear those women? You think I can't keep him at home? If you want to play your little boy games, you go ahead. Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe.
I went home. Mrs. Marlowe was out by the pool with a one-piece white bathing suit and a drinks trolley.
Oh, did my big detective get all worn out?
Talked with Lipschultz. I also talked with Mrs. Les Valentine.
Muffy? Do you mean Muffy Blackstone?
Woman, maybe 40, mean little mouth, body of a Varga girl.
That's Muffy. She's Clayton Blackstone's daughter. He's a friend of Daddy's. I think he's wealthier than Daddy.
Heavens.
Muffy married not long ago. No one ever thought she'd make it. Whenever she had a boyfriend, something always went wrong.
Who's the lucky man?
A nobody. It is assumed he married her for her money.
Yeah? probably has a rundown office someplace over a dime store.
Oh, don't be such a bastard. What are you doing talking to Muffy?
Her husband's in the Lippy for 100 G's. Mrs. Valentine has always bailed him out before. This time she won't.
Good for her. I'm sure he's been a dreadful trial.
She seems a little trying herself.
She was single all that time and devoted to Daddy. She drinks too much.
Anyway, the guy Lippy works for is unhappy. Lippy has 30 days to get the money back, so Lippy hired me to find him.
Well, if anyone can do it, I'm sure you can.
Funny thing. The big boss, the man putting the heat on Lippy, His name's Blackstone.
Clayton Blackstone?
I don't know.
No, probably a different Blackstone.
Next morning, I head north along the coast to San Benedict to look for a movie company shooting there.
It's a simple transaction. We give her the money, she turns up on time. It's called working.
Yes, Mr. King.
Excuse me. Yeah, what?
Name's Marlowe. Looking for a photographer named Les Valentine.
Can't say I know him.
She's awake, Mr. King. She's asked for a cup of coffee, a cream, one sugar.
Give her a bucket of cold water.
I was led to believe he was here on assignment.
No, we have a regular does that, Gus Johnson. I don't know any Les whatever.
If he were here, would you know it?
Certainly.
Okay. Thanks for your time.
I'd say stick around, watch some shooting. But there is no shooting because Sandra Lee can't get her fat ass out of bed.
There are several things I think as I drive back down the coast. The most important one is that Les Valentine is not who his wife says he is. He isn't shooting stills in San Benedict. After 2 days hot in his trail, I know less than when I started. I watch Muffy Valentine's house for a week. Every morning she heads off for her exercise class, and the houseboy takes the dogs for a walk. On the eighth day, I wait for them to go, then walk up to the front door with a clipboard and a pencil behind my ear, and a collection of master keys on my belt. I find nothing in the house. The only sign of a man is a drawer full of socks and a box on the bureau containing a couple of pairs of cufflinks and a checkbook. The checkbook is Valentine's. I go through the stubs. Dues at the racket club, clothes, photographic equipment, and a parking ticket made out to the parking clerk, City of Los Angeles. I decide this is a clue.
Office of Parking.
This is Marlowe, Sheriff's Substation in Encino. I need a location on a ticket.
We're busy. Put it through on a requisition form.
Listen, sis, you're not talking to some biscuit kicker from Fresno. This is police business, so get off your whitest part and get me the address.
What's the number on the ticket?
41701. Hubba hubba, sis. I don't have all day.
One moment.
Biscuit kicker from Fresno.
The violation occurred in front of 1254 Western Avenue, and I must say I don't appreciate your manner.
Why don't you go kiss a walrus, sis?
It's on the west side of the block between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard, a three-story building looking like an ugly bread box. On the wall of the lobby is a directory. There is no Les Valentine listed, but there is a photographer, Larry Victor. Photo portraits, same initials. No one answers my knock. I spring the lock and open it. The place looks like the kind of office I've spent half my life in. Old roll-top desk, wobbly swivel chair, filing cabinet. In the bottom drawer is a half-empty bottle of cheap scotch and a big box file. In the file are about 100 glossy prints of naked women doing a variety of tricks, some of them quite old. One of these women is a young Sandra Lee. I roll up her photo and slip it into my coat pocket. The coincidences are piling up.
What?
Don't be confused. I am not you.
I can see that. So what the hell are you doing here?
You first.
Me first? This is my office.
Aha, you must be Larry Victor.
But who are you? Why are you sitting in my chair?
Kind of like a nursery story, isn't it?
Are you gonna tell me?
Marlowe, I'm looking for a guy named Les Valentine.
You a cop?
Nope. I met him at a card game. He took my marker for half a G and gave me this address.
Yeah. Funny thing, I know Les Valentine.
Amazing.
No, well, not really. We're both in the same line. Both do a lot of movie stills work. He's a good photographer.
Where is he now?
Heard he was out of the country.
Heard of a guy named Manny Lipschultz?
No. Swell name, though.
Uh-huh. We're all swell. Just a couple of swell guys lying to each other on a pleasant afternoon. I go out onto Western Avenue and sit in my car and wait to tail a guy who isn't the man I'm looking for. But there's something about him that bothers me. After about 20 minutes, he comes out of his office on foot, and I follow him two blocks into a bar called Reno's. I let him settle at the bar and sidle into a booth.
You want a drink?
Gimlet on the rocks. Larry Victor's at the bar, and beside him is a blonde in a very short skirt, and she's mad as hell. She takes something and shoves it at him. He puts a pair of rimless glasses on to look at it, and I realize what's been bothering me. Except for the hair, he looks like a picture I saw of Les Valentine. And hair can be arranged. He shoves the photo back at the blonde and heads for the door like a man leaving his wife for good. He gets his car from the curb near the office, and I follow him down onto the freeway and south to Venice Boulevard. He pulls up behind a beachfront bungalow. I park further down and cut up the beach walk. Larry Victor is sitting on his porch with a black-haired young woman with big dark eyes. They're drinking beer from the bottle and holding hands. The girl leans over and kisses him, and he reaches up in an automatic gesture and straightens his hairpiece.
Bingo. Les Valentine.
And then there's something else strikes me about these two. They look happy.
Did you detect anything good today, darling?
I found Les Valentine.
Oh, how exciting for you. I'm sure it compensates for missing our dinner at the club.
Sorry, the whistle doesn't blow at cocktail time for me.
Don't you want to be with me?
Of course I want to be with you. I want to spend all my time in bed with you, having cocktails by the pool with you. And if I give in to that, you might as well get me a little jeweled collar and take me for walks.
So where'd you find him?
He's living in Venice Beach under the name of Larry Victor, has a photography studio in Hollywood.
Oh, Mr. Lipschultz will be awfully pleased.
If I tell him.
Why wouldn't you?
There appears to be a Mrs. Victor.
Is there really? That timid little water bug of a man?
In L.A., he wears a toupee, blonde, smooth back, dresses like an agent for a B-movie starlet. He specializes in this type of photograph.
Oh, that's Sandra Lee.
Uh-huh.
Ooh, her breasts are awfully small. Oh, and she's a little potbelly.
Hardly.
Muffy's husband takes pictures like this?
Hundreds.
Well, how did you find them?
I burgled his office.
So why didn't you tell Mr. Lipschultz?
I don't know. Larry and his other wife. She seemed glad to see him.
But what about Muffy?
Yeah.
I drive back to L.A. again, park on Hollywood Boulevard, and walk back to Western. It's time to talk with Larry, or Les. The door of his office is unlocked, and I go in. He isn't there, but something is. She's in his swivel chair, tilted back, a small hole in the middle of her forehead. I can't see the blood, but I can smell it, and a stale hint of some perfume. It takes me a moment to place her. She's the blonde who argued with Larry Victor in the bar. I check the filing cabinet. The box file is gone. I take in a deep breath and dial Bernie Oles at the DA's office. And wait.
Marlowe.
Hey, Bernie.
Small caliber gun. You know her?
No.
You've been cute.
Not yet.
You still working? I heard you don't need to.
Missing persons job out of the Springs. Trail led here. I talked to the guy. He said he couldn't help me. I went away, found out some things that didn't make sense, and came back to talk to the guy again. The door was open.
Guy's name Larry Victor?
That's the name on the door.
You know where he is now?
No.
Anything else you can tell me might help?
No.
I suppose if I ask you the name of your client, you wouldn't tell me.
Not if I don't have to.
And who decides if you have to?
We work it out, right?
Stay in touch, Marlowe.
I go west down Santa Monica Boulevard with my foot heavy on the gas pedal. It won't take the cops very long to find out where Larry Victor lives, and I want to get there first.
Yes?
I need to see Larry quick.
Larry's fixing drinks. Would you like one?
In a minute, we'll all need one.
Angel? Who's this?
What the hell do you want?
There's a dead woman in your office, Larry. The cops are on the way.
A dead woman?
Come on, Larry, get in the car. Angel, tell the cops you don't know where he is.
Hold on.
Larry, it's me or a long night downtown. Dump the drinks.
Larry, call me.
Get rid of the two glasses, Angel. You don't know where he is.
I didn't kill her.
But you knew her.
What the hell you say?
You just had a fight with her at Reno's bar. I followed you.
Followed me?
Try not to say everything I say. I followed you to Reno's, and then I followed you home. Is Angel your wife?
Yes.
And is Muffy Valentine your wife?
Muffy Valentine?
I told you not to do that.
Who's Muffy Valentine?
Les Valentine's wife. I saw a picture of Les in her house. If you put on your glasses and took off your rug, you'd look just like him. So, do I call you Larry or Les? You legally married to Angel? Well, this is certainly pleasant. No smart guy remarks, no lies, just the soothing sound of my own questions. Got a photo of Sandra Lee here. I assume you took this when she was just starting out.
Jesus Christ, Marlowe.
Yeah, you have it all rolled up and folded away neat. Then there's a murder and everything unravels.
What am I gonna do?
You're gonna tell me what's going on.
The cops know about me?
Not from me. When I left them, they just had the corpse in your office.
You were there?
I discovered the body, Stiff a Minute Marlowe. I went there to ask you about being Larry and Les. Door was open, she was sitting in your chair. Somebody had shot her in the head with a small caliber gun.
Yeah. You got a cigarette?
Here.
What's your racket, Marlowe?
Private license. I was hired to find you.
Who by? Muffy?
Lipschultz.
Lippy?
Uh-huh.
For the markers.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to build a stake.
What for?
To get out of the Springs. Muffy, her old man. All of it.
You married Angel before or after Muffy?
Before.
Let me guess. You met Muffy someplace, maybe shooting some pictures?
Yeah.
And she liked you, and you saw the big burrito all of a sudden, after dancing all your life for dimes. Angel know you married Muffy?
She thinks I go away on assignments.
So, you're gonna get your hand in Muffy's trust fund, and then you were gonna scoot back to L.A. and disappear. With Angel?
Something like that.
Except you couldn't get the dough.
No.
So, you tried to parlay it at the Agony Club, and found out that it's hard to beat the house.
I think the game was rigged.
Yeah, sure.
So, well, how come you didn't tell the cops? How come you came tearing out here to save me?
I'm a romantic.
A what?
I saw you and Angel together the other night. You looked happy.
You're a piece of work, Marlowe.
Uh-huh.
I didn't kill her.
Then tell me how she ends up at your office sitting at your desk with a bullet hole in her forehead.
I don't know.
What was her name?
Lola something. I hardly knew her.
What were you arguing about?
I used to date her.
But you don't know her last name?
I can't remember every name, huh?
Remember this one, pal, or I'll drive you straight downtown.
Don't do that! Jesus Christ! Faithful. Her name was Lola Faithful.
Stage name.
That's how she was in the book when I was dating her.
And she was mad because you weren't dating her anymore?
She was mad as hell.
How long you been married to Angel?
3 years, 7 months.
Break up with Lola before that?
Sure, hell, what kind of a guy you think I am?
So, like, 4 years ago, you ditched Lola Faithful, and a few days ago she's in a bar screaming about it?
She carried a torch. Not my fault. If you don't believe me, why are we here?
2 things. One, I don't think you got the iron in your bones to kill a man.
You ever kill anybody, tough guy?
2,
Why would you kill her right there in your office and leave her and not even lock the door?
Hey, that's true.
You got a place to go?
No place the cops wouldn't think of.
They know about Muffy?
No, Jesus, nobody knows about her.
Go there.
Muffy's?
Why not? She's your wife. It's your house.
How am I gonna get there?
I'll drive you.
All the way?
I live there.
Marlo. Holy Christ, are you the guy that married Harlan Potter's daughter?
She married me.
You live right down the street from me.
In a small world.
The big burrito.
You just keep your mouth shut and hide out with your Poodle Springs wife until I figure this out.
I drop him in front of Muffy's place, put the olds in gear, and drive on towards the house I share with my own poor little rich girl.
So obviously Les, or Larry, or whatever he calls himself, is a compulsive gambler. Obviously he's a fortune hunter. Obviously he's dishonest. Why are you protecting him? Why not simply turn him in?
He doesn't understand either.
I should think he wouldn't, the worm. What kind of a man would get himself into this kind of mess?
I think he's addicted.
To drugs?
To risk.
Why does someone feel that way about gambling?
It's the danger of losing. Gets the juices going.
He likes to lose?
He likes the chance of losing. It excites him.
So he gambles and commits bigamy and takes pornographic pictures and maybe murders someone?
Well, things got out of hand. And I don't think he killed the woman in his office.
You seem to understand him well enough.
I'm a detective.
Maybe you do the work you do because it's dangerous. Maybe it gives you a thrill.
Like Larry?
There must be some reason why you don't stay home and spend the afternoon with me, you bastard.
Oh, God.
The sky is as blue as a cornflower, and the weather is in the low 70s when I walk into Reno's bar.
What'll it be?
Rye, straight up. Will the faithful come in here much? I might run a tab. Here's 20.
Okay.
Lola Faithful coming here much?
Oh, Lola, sure, yeah. I didn't get you the first time. Hell, Lola comes in here all the time. Christ, that's what she does. She comes in here.
What can you tell me about her?
Well, I think she used to be some kind of hoochie-coochie dancer.
And?
And nothing. That's all I know.
Know a guy named Larry Victor?
Sure. Lola and Larry were hollering at each other here at the bar just the other day.
What were they fighting about?
She had something on him. She was going to get even, I guess.
She had something on him.
She was going to make him pay.
What did she have?
Hell, I don't know. That's all I know. There's always something.
Where's Lola live?
Kenmore. 222 Kenmore. Want another drink?
Not just now. Keep the change.
222 Kenmore is on the left side as you drive up toward Franklin. The lawn has gone to hell. The house needs paint. The front door is locked, but the frame is shrunk up so that it doesn't take much to get in. I'm hoping to see something the cops wouldn't have seen, or that didn't mean anything to them. I look behind the refrigerator and examine the linoleum around the edges, and pull over a chair and climb up and look inside the kitchen light.
Hold that pose, sailor.
Uh-huh.
Put your hands on top of your head. Now step down off of there.
Uh-huh.
Now, sailor, why don't you tell me about who you are and how come you're here? Stuff like that.
My name's Marlowe. I'm a private eye working on a case.
No one owns this house?
Woman named Lola. She's dead.
Okay, sailor. Let's go for a ride.
We roll west to Bel Air. In past the Bel Air gate and the private police booth. Then down a winding driveway to a vast house lit with spotlights. A butler shows us into a library. Beside a fireplace I could ride a horse into is a hatchet-faced man with ice-white hair cut very short.
This is Marlowe, Mr. Blackstone. Found him in the house on Kenmore.
Why?
Says he's a PI.
What else?
Well, I figured you might like to talk with him.
Marlowe?
I was told a woman named Lola Faithful lived there.
And?
And what's your interest?
Perhaps I should have Eddie teach you some manners.
Perhaps you should stop trying to scare me to death and share a little information. Maybe we're not adversaries.
Adversaries? An intellectual peeper. You know that Lola Faithful is dead?
I found the body.
I would like to know who murdered her.
I had a sense you might be interested.
Cops like the photographer?
Cops like the obvious. Usually they're right.
You like him?
No.
Why not?
He doesn't seem the type. Did you know I know your daughter?
I didn't know that.
She's married to the photographer.
Eddie, pour Mr. Marlowe a drink.
Liz Valentine owed a guy money, and the guy hired me to locate Les for him.
Who's the guy?
Klein's got a right to be anonymous.
Where the hell do you think you are, Mr. Marlowe?
If I'm gonna be in this business, I can't go spilling my guts to every lunagan I meet.
I'm hardly a lunagan, Marlowe.
Sure. You're a citizen and a half. I started with Les Valentine's wife, your daughter. She said he was on location doing stills for a movie production.
But the movie company had never heard of him.
Eddie's been busy.
Nothing to it.
So, I went back and searched his house.
My daughter's house?
I found a parking ticket, ran that back, and found a photographer named Larry Victor. I followed him to a bar, watched him have a fight with Lola Faithful, lost him, went back to search his office.
Why?
He said he knew Valentine.
And?
I walked in, and there was Lola with her brains on the floor.
And this guy, Larry?
Is Valentine with a wig.
Where is he?
I don't know. Why did you have Eddie here watching Lola's house?
A woman of that name attempted to blackmail my daughter.
About what?
My daughter did not say, and I did not ask. I told my daughter that I would have Eddie speak with her, but Eddie was away on business for a few days. And when he returned, he went to call on Lola, only to find that she had been murdered. You can understand my interest.
Uh-huh. And your daughter?
I merely told her that the woman had died. I did not ask her anything.
How do you feel about Les Valentine, Mr. Blackstone?
He's a liar, a womanizer, a petty thief, an opportunist, a fool, and an unsuccessful, probably compulsive gambler. And my daughter loves him. As long as she does, I will support him. As long as he is married to my daughter, he is family.
Even though he's a wrong G.
I am not much of a father, Mr. Marlowe. I have only my daughter. Her mother is long since gone. If she wishes to be married to a wrong G, then he will become my wrong G.
The wrong G is home. I delivered him myself.
So you weren't telling me everything?
I never said I was.
I can admire that, but don't make the mistake of confusing admiration with patience. Take him home, Eddie. When you get there, give him back his gun.
Yes, Mr. Blackstone.
I'm up again, showered, shaved, smelling like a desert flower and tougher than two armadillos. On my way to the Agony Club to report to my employer.
Hello? Anyone home?
Lippy is in his swivel chair, a bottle of scotch on the table beside him, one glass. His head hangs down on his chest. The exit wound is dark and messy. His face has begun to bloat.
Oh, brother.
I call the cops.
Yeah, you touch anything?
No.
Marlowe. Hey, didn't I see your name on the wire last week? Discovered a murder victim in Hollywood?
It's a gift. At the peak of season, I find 2-3 a day.
Yeah, maybe you do more than find them.
Sure, I blast them for no reason and call the cops and wait for you to come and question me.
Wait a minute, you say Lippy hired you to look for a guy owed him money?
Uh-huh.
Who was it? This is a murder case. A guy who skipped owing Lippy money is a suspect. Withholding the name of a suspect is enough to get your license lifted. It's enough to get you in jail.
What the hell?
We're in an interrogation room at the Poodle Springs Cop House. I'm the special guest. Others include Sergeant Whitestone from the Springs and Lieutenant Wilson Crump, Riverside County Chief Investigator. And, as a surprise treat, Bernie Oles.
Take your time, Marlowe. We got all night.
Lippy always had a couple of Roscoes with him. Whoever murdered him had to get around them first. I guess a woman. Small caliber, close to.
We can guess that sort of thing without you.
That's all I got, Bernie.
Two homicides in a week. In 32 years of police work, I've never seen a coincidence like that.
There's nothing more I can tell you, Bernie.
Okay, book him. Stick him in a cell. Maybe a connection will occur to him.
What charge, Lieutenant?
You'll think of something.
It's quiet in the Poodle Springs Who's Gow. I lie on the bunk in the dark. I wonder if Lippy would have been killed if I told the cops all I knew. Guys like Lippy are always walking on the railing, but dying is a long fall. Blackstone had no reason to kill Lippy, but Les had a reason. And he had a reason to kill Lola Faithful, too, a blackmail reason having to do with a picture she showed him in Reno's bar. Why the hell isn't Larry the killer? Even if he does have a pretty wife who adores him. And where is the picture Lola had on him? Could be in a safe deposit box. Except, where's the key? And whiskey-voiced old broads like Lola don't usually keep safe deposit boxes. The safest answer is Larry's the shooter. Les and Larry did it.
Okay, Marlowe, you're sprung.
This is Harry Simpson, darling.
I'm sorry we took so long, Mr. Marlowe. I had to wait until the court opened this morning to get a writ.
Uh-huh.
I'll drive you home. Daddy's furious.
Ah, to hell with him.
He got you out.
To hell with him anyway. I've been in the jug before. It's an occupational hazard.
I frankly fail to see how you can do your work and keep your self-respect.
Because it involves spending time occasionally in jail, because it brings you into contact with the lower classes.
It's not my fault my father's rich.
It isn't mine either. But you don't get as rich as Harlan Potter without spending time with some people you wouldn't care to break a crumpet with.
Oh, this is no kind of a marriage. You're out all night half the time. I don't know where you are or what you're doing. You might be getting killed.
What will they say at lunch? Oh,
damn it! Don't be so poor snob, high and mighty.
I spend the night in the guest room. In the morning, I drive over to Muffy Valentine's house.
Les isn't here. I don't know where he is.
You know Lipschultz is dead?
Yes.
Did you know he worked for your father? Your father owns the Agony Club.
She stepped back as if I poked a live snake at her. She didn't say anything. I find Angel sitting on her front porch, looking at the beach.
Larry's not here.
You waiting for him?
I didn't go to work. I have to be here in case he comes.
He's not worth it. He's got no spine.
I love him. He'll come back here sooner or later.
Angel, I'm not so sure that he didn't kill Lippy.
He wouldn't.
And if he killed Lippy, he might have killed Lola.
No. No.
I drive downtown to see Bernie Oles.
Harlan Potter spring you, or you just tunnel out?
Huh.
You're not looking too good, Marlowe.
Bernie, Les Valentine and Larry Victor are the same guy.
Is that a fact? You've known this for a while.
Yeah.
You think that maybe you played it a little too tight this time, Marlowe? Lippy didn't deserve it. Not from this guy.
Nobody deserves it.
Yeah, sure. Let your heart bleed a little.
I don't think he did it.
You don't think he did it? Yeah, who pointed you?
He's a spineless creep, but he's got a nice little girl who loves everything about him.
You covet for some guy you barely know because he's got a nice wife?
They looked happy, Bernie. You don't see too much of that.
Okay, Marlowe. You can tell me everything from the beginning, real slow. A lot of small words.
I tell him everything, leaving out the fact that I have a picture of Sandra Lee in the trunk of my car from before she was famous, when she didn't mind so much getting outside of her clothes.
You still think Larry, Les, whatever his name is, didn't do it?
I don't know. I've told you what I know. You and I both know how long this guy will be around if Clayton Blackstone finds out his daughter's married to a bigamist.
A little jump of Fast Eddie.
Damn little.
Get out of here.
Huh?
Shoo, Marlowe. Go on. Chew.
I drive up Kenmore to Lola Faithful's house. She was blackmailing Larry with a picture, so where is it? I tossed her house like a Caesar salad and found nothing. So where would she hide it? I have a thought. Her mailbox is stuffed with catalogs and flyers. I take the envelopes out. Most of them are bills. After a while, I find it. An envelope, hand-addressed, and inside a receipt from the parcel room at Union Station. An ancient attendant shuffles off into the catacombs and emerges maybe 3 weeks later with a flat manila envelope. There's a name scrawled across it.
Lola Faithful?
That's the one. Inside is a print and a negative. They match. The print is a 10x8 glossy of Muffy Blackstone Valentine wearing high-heel leather boots and nothing else.
Angel, I need to show you something.
I'm not supposed to sit with the customers.
Take a break.
Well, I guess I'm about due.
Here. Know her?
Oh, well, she's not decent.
Sorry, I've gotten used to it. It's the picture Lola showed to Larry when they had their fight in Reno's. She was trying to blackmail him with it.
How?
It's his wife.
I don't understand.
Larry also goes by the name of Les Valentine. And under that name, he is married to this woman, Muffy.
Larry's married to me. I don't know why you come and lie to me like this.
Because I'm tired of wading around in a swamp.
Do you know where Larry is?
No. Do you?
No. Do you think something happened to him?
I think he did what he knows how to do. He ran away.
No. He wouldn't leave me.
Have it your own way.
Muffy Blackstone. I had no idea. Really, Philip, why do you have to be the one to dig this thing up? Aren't you embarrassed? This is awful.
I'm a detective. You knew that when you married me.
Well, I guess I didn't think you'd always be a detective. Damn you, Marlowe, can't you see how it is for me?
This is what I am. A guy who ends up with dirty pictures in his possession.
I could tear it up right now.
Sure you could, but I've made copies.
Oh, damn you, it's embarrassing digging up the dirt on people we know.
Oh, shoot.
I'm terrified when you're not home and humiliated when I don't even know where you are. And now this disgusting thing. I don't want you mixed up in this.
It's not up to you.
Do you really think...
You live your life, I'll live mine.
Very well. I'll ask my attorney to draw up divorce papers.
My old office in the Cahuenga building is still empty, so I moved back in. I'm putting a fresh bottle of bourbon in the bottom drawer when Clayton Blackstone walks in.
$500.
You wish to employ me?
I want you to find out where my son-in-law is. I wish my daughter's life to be orderly and pleasant again.
What if the orderly conclusion is that your son-in-law is responsible for 2 murders?
If you wish to reach me, call Eddie Garcia. He will put us in touch. He has my complete confidence.
Mine too. I get the picture of Muffy and slide it into a manila envelope. I put one of my cards in with it, and on the card I write, "Do you wish to tell me about this picture?" I seal and address the envelope, go down to the post office and mail it special delivery. Then go back and reward myself with a first drink from the office bottle. I'm just starting to enjoy it when Larry, or Les, walks in.
That was easy.
Huh?
Someone just hired me to find you.
Who?
Uh-huh.
I called your wife. She said you were back here working. I've been on the go. I haven't had a chance to clean up today.
Want a drink?
I sure could use one. Oh, I didn't kill that bimbo.
How about Lippy?
Lippy? Lippy's dead?
You didn't know?
How would I know?
Jesus, Marlo, you're the only guy I can level with.
Like when you said you'd stay where I could find you?
I had to get away from there. You don't know what she's like.
I got some idea. Tell me about this picture.
Sheesh. Where'd you get that?
The Tooth Fairy left it.
That's how I met her.
Posing for dirty pictures.
She liked it. Kinky, rich girl. Funny thing is, she had to know the pictures would be used. She wanted them sold.
So you proposed at once.
You're a sarcastic bastard, Marlo. It was my chance. I'd been nickel and diming it. Here's a broad with more dough than Howard Hughes. For me, sure, but for Angel, too. Kit deserves everything.
And look what she got. Here's a C note.
Huh?
There's a flop house on Wilcox. Starwalk Motel. Check in. Get cleaned up. If you're not there when I want you, I'll tell everybody everything, and you're on your own.
I call Eddie Garcia, and he agrees to meet me at the Bay City Pier.
Nice day you brought me out on, Sailor.
You picked the pier.
Good place to talk alone.
So?
I'm in a bind, Eddie. I can probably find Les Valentine, okay, but I don't know for sure it's the best idea for everybody.
No?
Does Blackstone know his daughter's kinky?
Kinky.
Look at this.
Mr. Blackstone was here now, you'd be dead.
He'd kill me?
He'd have me kill you.
I can feel my lip quivering. Does he know about her?
Yeah, he knows. The kid's been wrong since she was little. Booze, creeps, dope. When she was younger, spent a lot of my time straightening out her life.
Like what?
Like she's shacking up with some Hollywood heartthrob. I go and have a talk with him and he leaves her alone. There was a magazine, kind of buying a rapper. They were going to do a photo spread with her. I had to go and talk to the publisher. Where'd you get this one?
Lola Faithful stashed it at Union Station.
Where'd she get it?
I don't know. She was dead when I met her.
She tried to blackmail Larry with it.
Uh-huh. You carry a small caliber?
If I was you, I'd find myself Les Valentine. Bring him back to Muffy. Take Mr. Blackstone's dough and move on. You finally got him married. The guy's a creep, but she's off the streets, safe. Now you screw that up, and Mr. Blackstone's gonna be sending me looking for you.
If he does, you know where I am.
It's still raining next morning when Muffy Blackstone comes into my office.
Coffee?
Why did you send this photo to me?
I've been walking around the edge of this case since I started. I thought maybe if I couldn't get in, I could get someone to come out.
You are trying to ruin my marriage.
No. I'm trying to find out who killed Lola and Lippy.
To whom have you shown this picture?
I thought you liked having your picture passed around. How come you're throwing a wing ding?
What do you know?
I know you met Les when he was taking pictures out of an office on Highland Avenue and calling himself Larry. I know you've had a life full of dope and booze and a string of wrong guys, and I know your old man has bailed you out of every one.
Oh, you working for my father?
He hired me to find Larry.
You don't call him that now. My father just wants you to find him so Eddie can kill him.
Why would he do that?
Because he won't let anyone have me. He'll ruin that too, like he ruins everything.
Put the gun away, Mrs. Valentine.
I won't let you.
Put it down.
I won't let you spoil.
They've all been spoiling it, haven't they?
Yes.
And you had to kill them. You got to Lola. She had your picture, and she wanted money. So you what? Arranged to meet her at Larry's office? I think I recognize the perfume.
Yes, yes.
Lippy, he knew his killer, whoever it was. He was off guard. How'd you get him off guard?
I said I didn't have the money, but there were other ways I could pay.
So, he grins and sends the help away, and then turns and pours himself a whiskey, and then, bam! That about right?
I still... love, Les. You won't spoil it.
Spilt my coffee.
I follow my cup down behind my desk and dig out my .38 on the way. Her bullets go into the wall where I was sitting. I fire one into the ceiling to let her know I have a gun. Then I stay down behind the desk, waiting.
I don't want to shoot you.
I'm pretty sure where she'll go. There isn't any place else. Blackstone is beside his big fireplace. Eddie Garcia stands by the door. Muffy's at the bar with a drink in her hand.
So what have you to tell me?
Your daughter stopped by my office. She said you were trying to destroy her marriage. She said she'd kill me like she killed Lola and Lippy. Then she got out her 25 and began plugging away.
Muffy?
Lola had a bad picture of me.
Didn't you know there'd be other copies?
She's not playing with all the dots on her dice.
Muffy? What about Lippy? I didn't even know you knew him.
I asked him not to bother Les and me. And he said business is business.
So she goes to see him. He turns his back on her to pour a scotch. Bam!
He would have ruined my marriage, Daddy.
I had Eddie chase Les Valentine down. You know he's got a wife.
Yeah, I've known it all along.
What are you talking about?
He has another wife, Muffy.
Oh, that's not true.
You need to calm down for a while.
You won't let anyone have me. Ever. Everyone I've ever tried to.
Muffy?
Everyone I have ever loved. You send Eddie to straighten them out. But this time you won't.
Muffy?
She puts two bullets in her father's forehead. I'm half turned in my seat and the heavy thump of Garcia's Magnum sounds, and she falls face down on the floor.
Half a second. I was half a second late.
Uh-huh.
10 years ago, I could have saved them.
Cops will pour it on you, Eddie.
They won't find me.
Still, pretty fair shooting. She had the jump.
Half a second slow.
Then he's gone. The cops turn me loose in the middle of the afternoon. There's nothing to hold me for except being a lousy detective, and they have their own problems with that. I get Angel out of her cafe and drive her to Hollywood.
Have you found Larry?
Yeah, I'm taking you to him.
Oh, is he all right?
Sure. Angel, about him being married to another woman, I was wrong.
I knew that.
Larry? Larry, it's me!
It's okay, Larry.
Angel?
Oh, Larry!
Muffy Blackstone's dead.
Oh, Larry.
So's her father.
How?
Doesn't matter. Wasn't you, wasn't me. I don't know you're here. I don't know where you are. Don't call me up. Don't come see me.
Wait a minute. What if the cops come after me?
They will.
What should I do?
There's four C's.
Hey.
Get going. Stay away from me and take care of that girl. If I ever hear you weren't good to her, I'll track you down and stomp on your face.
Hey, Marlo. No need to talk like that after everything we've been through.
Yeah. Remember what I told you.
Goodbye, Mr. Marlo. Thank you.
My apartment has a musty, closed-up smell. I leave the hall door open and throw up a couple of windows in the living room. Then I go into the kitchen to put ice and soda in a glass with a shot of scotch. When I carry it back to the living room, Linda is there. Beside her on the floor is a small suitcase.
In town for long?
Maybe.
Overnight case and all.
Hmm.
I thought we were getting divorced.
We are, but it doesn't cover what I had in mind.
Hmm. You seem awfully sure of yourself.
Hmm.
What if I said no?
Hmm.
You're right. I probably won't say no.
Hello.
So how long are you staying?
Maybe the night? Maybe forever.
Maybe.
Poodle Springs, by Raymond Chandler and Robert B. Parker, was adapted for radio by Robin Brooks. Philip Marlowe was played by Toby Stevens. Linda Marlowe by Lorelei King, Larry Victor, Stephen Campbell Moore, and Muffy Valentine by Laurel Lefko. Manny Lipschultz was Peter Policarpu, Angel, Sasha Pick, Bernie Oles, Gerard McDermott, Eddie Garcia, Alan Raglan, and Clayton Blackstone was Sean Baker. The film director was James Laley, Leonard, Carl Prekop, and the turnkey, Simon Bubb. Poodle Springs was directed by Sasha Yevtushenko. The producer was Claire Grove.
There's a musical exploration next here on Radio 4, and then at 4, it's Weekend Woman's Hour. Remember this?
Hope you got the message. Sharon Gless, her of Cagney and Lacey, is just one of our guests on Weekend Woman's Hour this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Don't miss it.
First on Radio 4, Frances Fifield returns for another series of her forensic musical investigations, Tales from the Stave. Once again, she's unpicking the secrets hidden in original handwritten musical scores, beginning today with the most dramatic opera of the 18th century, a piece which resonates across the musical world to this day, Mozart's Don Giovanni.
Every single Giovanni, if he does his job half well, all the young women in the audience will love him.
They'll certainly struggle not to love him if he happens to be world-renowned baritone Simon Keenlyside.
Having seen and done Giovanni all over the world and watched any number of my colleagues as just a conduit, the effect that it has on women in the audience is profound, and the man has been nothing but cruel and brutal, with charm.
Oh, yes, oodles of privileged charm running alongside a remorseless...